Now it says, for there is no omen against Jacob. This is New American Standard. Nor is there any divination against Israel. At the proper time, it shall be said to Jacob and to Israel what God has done. Now, please notice that verse 23. We read that one a lot from the King James. All right? This is how it says in the King James. It's very beautiful, which a lot of us know very well. It says, surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of God and of Jacob and of Israel, what has God wrought? Now, I want you to understand the principle here. That's why I went through all of this. No matter what they tried, are you getting me? There was nothing that could be done against them. Let me summarize this story. If you go down to Revelation, you will find out that Balaam understood spiritual principles. He understood why Israel could not be attacked. He understood why all this checking from every angle did not work. So he explained to Balak what to do. Now, if you read this account, that Numbers, you may not find it. You find out that Balaam just left. At the end of the day, you discover that after a while, God broke by himself. Now, get what I'm saying now. God broke by himself against the people of Israel, that he slaughtered thousands of them in one day by himself. He allowed the angel of death into their camp. Are you getting my point? Until things were done to put an end to the plague. And what was the reason? Revelation chapter 2. I'll read from verse 12. He said, to the angel to the church of Pergamum write, the one who has a sharp two-edged sword says this, I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because you have there some who hold the teaching of Balaam, who kept teaching Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, and to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit acts of immorality. Let me stop there. Are you seeing this? Balaam, who understood spiritual things, he understood that the only way to be able to attack these people of Israel was to get them out from under the covering of the Almighty. Do you get the point I'm making? That is, it was not like they needed to pray. If you go, I don't want to go back there. You will see that the Bible says clearly that those people were camped like a flock of goats. All that time that Balaam was speaking and Balak was conniving with Balaam, all that was happening was that they were camped like a flock of goats. They did not know what was going on. They were not actively engaging their enemies. You know this one I quote all the time. They say, your enemies are not sleeping. Why should you sleep? That logic is senseless. You just call them my enemies. That is, their activities and mine are not the same. My enemies are not sleeping. Why should I sleep? I'll tell you. Because there is no rest for the wicked, says the Lord. There is no peace for the wicked, says the Lord. But as for me, in peace will I lay me down and sleep. For the Lord alone makes me dwell in safety. They were resting. Balak was not resting. Balaam was not resting. But even Balaam himself said in that chapter 23, verse 23, that listen, this our activity is not going to work. But he now went ahead and taught Balak something. He said, come, you don't fight these people like that. Don't you have fine girls in your place? Say, we have plenty. Let them go and invite the boys. I know they do party. Say, we do party. No sacrifice, you know. You don't have any idel this or idel that, you know what I'm saying? Nothing coming up, no festival. It's a festival day. Any party with the festival, you know what I mean? Now I went there. Hello, Mr. Hosni Mubarak, whatever the Israeli's name is. We have a party down in our house. Just me and my sisters. There are no men there. You guys interested? Yeah, it's a celebration of the feast of... The man said, no, the feast does not matter. She said, me and my guys can come. They went for party. It was not an honest party. It was a bunga bunga of... Velusco.
So people say, what is he talking about? It's only men who watch news that know these things.
But the point I'm making is this. That was how he got them. That was how he got them. If they were doing what they were supposed to be doing, following the laws of Moses, following the ways of God, eating their manna as it will rain. When manna falls, you chop. If manna not fall, nothing for you. You understand? Exactly. They would never have had a problem. What happened was that Balaam taught Balak the spiritual principle. And then Balak operated it, and that broke for him a road into the nation of Israel. So that even God himself turned against them. Now, I'm down to where I began this matter, all right? So that's why I began to teach the matter of prayer again. That, see, we don't use these prayers to fight our enemies like that. We use the prayers to fight ourselves. I don't know whether I get my point. We use the prayer to fight ourselves so that we do not listen to the counsel of Balak, which he had been taught by Balaam. So that when his Midianite, is that his place? Moabite or Midianite? What are they again? And when the Moabite women come to come and entice us to go for their celebrations, we are not enticed. Are you getting my point? We reserve our strength. Like I said before, that everybody in life is a matter of fact. They are going to have their own Delilah. I went to preach somewhere. One young man said, sir, how will I know my Delilah when he comes? So that I can resist her very well. I said, you will never know. And God does not want you to emphasize on Delilah. He wants to emphasize on your strength. Because Delilah is not only Samson's Delilah. If it was so, then all the women are safe from Delilah. Is that not so? But everybody has a Delilah. The women have their Delilahs coming. And Delilah is a spirit, is not always a woman. Delilah is a point of temptation that comes to remove strength from a man. That comes to remove strength from a woman. So I said to the young man that day, don't worry about the identity of your Delilah. Just make sure that your strength is maintained. Check Samson. Samson wasted his own strength. And he went to Gaza, and there he saw a harlot. And he went to this place, there he saw a woman. And then he went into a harlot here. The Bible says that when men do that, they are giving their life strength over to harlots. That is, he has a measure of strength. It's been drained. So the day Delilah now shows up, listen, there was no option. Samson had to fall for that Delilah. So back to the matter of prayer. I'm not talking about prayer and personal purification. That's just the point about it. So we don't fight Balaam with our prayer. We don't fight Balak directly with our prayer. We fight ourselves. We use prayer, all right, to retain ourselves in the center of that will of God. That's what I've been trying to emphasize. And that's why we're talking about it. Let's read two scriptures. Very important we read that just to bring out the thing I'm saying, then we'll close for today. Continue next time. If I said we should open to one, I wanted to start from somewhere. Luke what? Okay. I said Luke chapter 21. Okay, there's just one word I want to bring there, out there. I like to just read in context. Say, behold the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they put forth leaves, you see it and know for yourself that summer is now near. Even so, you too, when you see these things happening, recognize the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. He now said like this, Be on guard that your hearts may not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day come on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of all the earth. But keep on the alert at all times, praying. Doing what?
Praying.
Doing what?
Praying.
That is, the way by which you keep alert is by what?
Praying.
He said, but keep alert at all times. Praying in order that you may have strength to escape all these things which are about to take place, and to stand before the Son of Man. You see, therefore, that the strength that a man has to be able to stand all these trials comes from what? From praying. Now, I want you to understand one principle here. Because, you know, I say all the time, but there's one song we learned when we were children. They said, one of them was, "Boys of spirit, boys of will, boys of muscles, brain and power, fit to cope with everything. These are wanted everywhere." You don't know that song? Oh, God. Old school. I learned that song, the one I'm telling you, I learned in 1978. Literally, I'm not joking about it. 1978. All right. 78, 79. I know because I left for secondary school in 79. I learned this one in primary school. So that's how come I remember very well. But the one I'm trying to remember is something about my boy. Okay, yeah. What's that? I don't know the song. It's a twinkle, twinkle, little star. No, it's this one. "You're starting, my boy, on life's journey." You know it now? 1979. Anyway, that song says something like this. It was saying that this world is a stage of excitement. I think there's danger wherever you go. And there's something like, there are temptations at every corner. And you have courage, my boy, to say no. We learned the song. But the point about the song is that there are temptations everywhere. This life is full of temptations. What do we do with prayer? We don't attack enemies with prayers. Jesus said it to us in effect, but I like the way King James says it here. "Take heed to yourselves." I like that. "Take heed to yourselves." That verse 34. "Lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness." Anyway, yeah, New Americans are giving us a simple word for that. But you see, he said, "Watch ye therefore and pray always." That is, you need to pray to be alert. That's the point that he was trying to emphasize. When they came to him and said, "Teach us how to pray," he said to them, "Pray like this: lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from doing evil." You know, when I first heard that, I thought he was saying, "Deliver us from the evil that may come upon us." But look at the context. That was not what he was saying. The context is simple. "Lead us not into temptation," but the two of them are tied together. That is, we don't want to be tempted to do evil. That's what he was saying. And it's a prayer point. When the Lord Jesus told his people, pray like this. Say to the Father, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Don't let us do evil. What am I saying all of this I've been saying today? Listen, the epidemic of prayer is to be using prayers to attack enemies and to solve our personal problems. But that was not what Jesus taught his disciples. What was the prayer supposed to be? One of the major things was to use it to keep themselves in purity in the midst of all the temptations that will be happening around. The Bible always says that take heed to yourselves. When he's talking about taking to yourself, he wasn't talking about make sure you will dress well, make sure you have enough clothes to wear. No. He said make sure you don't do that which is wrong. That's what he was saying. Now, I'm a preacher. You understand my point? There are things that we do. In fact, let me not even talk about me. Let me talk about one man. I won't mention his name now. All right? He used to preach a lot those days in Nigeria. Sorry, in America, but a lot of books were flying when I was on campus. He divorced his first wife. Church was still full. His church was 5,000 people. Then one day he came to church, announced that he and his wife were getting a divorce, the second one. He came to church the following Sunday, and there were only 500 people left. 4,500 disappeared. What's the point they make? You saw what happened to his ministry? Because he divorced his wife. Sometimes it's not a matter of divorce. Men do, preachers, you know, if a pastor eats money, church never goes down. Go and check it. There's never been a church that went down because pastor chopped money. That is, it's not usually a very serious offense. But when pastor marries another wife, now, listen to this. I just want to say this, all right? The pastor that suddenly divorced his wife, so even an American, and then married another wife, and church scattered. Let me just ask you a simple question. Do you think he woke up one day and said, this is my wife for the last 17 years, 18 years, or even this just married 10 years, I'm just going to divorce her? He did not. Something led to it. Temptations led to it. And let me tell you the truth. I believe very strongly, this is my personal conviction after observing things, there's one particular strong demon. Everybody say demon. That likes to follow married people. People say spirit of adultery in men. No, it's not so. That's not, that one is okay, but it, I mean, it's strong, but it's not too strong. The strongest of them is called the spirit of accusation. Yes, that's my conviction. Why can't he comb his hair straight? Every man combs his hair properly. Once, as a woman, you are thinking like that, it's not you. You are not wicked. It's Satan. What did I say? Please say it like you believe it. It's not you. By the time every time, I don't know, why can't this my wife just construct her English properly? That is, who does not make mistake in grammar? But if he makes 10 sentences, all of them are correct amongst minus one thing. And nothing wrong with, I mean, she says something wrong, you will correct now, if you know the truth. You understand my point? But then that goes to your mind and say, don't mind her. She cannot speak good English. Now it becomes a label. Are you getting my point? It's no longer just an observation now, but a label. What happened? Money. You can never keep money until it be complete. Now, it's different from, why is money not complete? I know you. That's how you do. You understand my point? You are going jogging in the morning. I don't know why this woman can never keep money until it be complete. You're joking. 1 whole hour. I don't know why a woman can never keep money. I have to be complete. It's not you. Who is it? I'm just helping you people ahead of time. Why I'm telling you that you should know that it is Satan. Once you know it is Satan, you easily overcome him. How do I overcome that one? It's very simple. The money is not complete. I thank God my wife is a blessing to me. She's always getting better. You are joking. Satan will just look at him. Foolish man, I'm even telling him something. He's not even listening. He will leave you alone. Now, the point I'm just making is this. So, that's where it starts from. The man starts. He goes for one meeting. You know the funny thing? I've gone around preaching a lot. 9 times out of 10, my wife doesn't come with me. Nothing wrong with it, though. In fact, most of the problem is me. And the reason is that a lot of times I travel, and I tell her flat, the children are young, we can't just be leaving them at home because you are following me to go and preach. And when we are in town, and it includes Sunday, I say, who will carry them to church, you know? So, in fact, the last time I went to preach in Aba, a few months ago, it was the first time ever, you wouldn't believe it, the first time ever in life I was traveling to preach with my wife. You know, that time I went to Aba, when was that? That was a few months ago. It's up to 4 months. Yes, just a few months ago. In fact, when I told you the church, they were so excited. I said, so it's a special meeting. I'd never been to a church outside Enugu, and I had to introduce my wife because she has never been there. Why? Nothing, no big deal. It's just us. Now, so maybe, nothing wrong. That's how we've always been. Then there are two ways. Some preachers, you now go out. You say, I don't know why my wife doesn't come. Other preachers are there with their wives. And I tell her to come. She says that she has to take the children to school. She starts complaining. And it starts. It's not him. Who is it?
Satan.
Thank you. I'm happy you've learned this. You're a very fast learner. You're a fast learner. The other ones, they'll come. You see Pastor Banky? I've never seen him anywhere. And his wife is following him. Like she has nothing else to do. Are you see what I'm saying? The other day, all of us were there ministering in Botswana. His wife was at home. This woman is always following me. Why is she following me? I mean, what does she think? She thinks I can't go somewhere alone. Is she afraid? What's she afraid of? It's not him. It's who? Now, I'm bringing an issue. That's where it starts. Then when Satan has accused his wife, all right, in his eyes for a long time, and he starts believing, and that one now comes. Can't you see Sister Angela is very nice? Yes, anytime you sit down, does she not come immediately give you something to drink? Yes, does your wife even ever say that your throat, is it cracking from what is preaching you have been preaching? It's true. I'm just letting you know, some of these marriages are not made in heaven. Okay, were the two of you born again seven when you got married? He said, come to think of it. You know, they said that you have to hear the voice of God. Okay, you were born again. Did God speak to you? Ah. Wallahi. Is that so? I'm just trying to help you. I'm your only friend. All these other preachers, what do they know? What I have told you is that a progressist. Don't think a man will just come. Hey, woman, I've married you for 15 years. I want you to divorce me, otherwise I'm going to divorce you. They don't speak like that. But Jesus said, therefore, listen, let me just say this one to you again. Hey, God help me. My time is gone. But this point I want to make, all right? No man. Everybody say, no man.
No man.
No man is strong enough, man or woman, by himself or herself, to stand and say, lie. I don't do that kind of thing. I don't listen to such things. The truth is that you won't even know you are listening. You think you are thinking. If Satan had knocked on your door, good morning, my name is Satan, I want to ruin your life, your ministry, and everything you stand for. Let me begin to accuse your wife against you right now. Is that one easy to handle?
Yes.
You carry water, turn it to blood, the blood of Jesus against you. The guy will disappear. But it doesn't work like that. It's just going to come in as your own thoughts. You think Peter thought he was speaking for Satan? No, he never thought so. He was just expressing his passion for the life of Jesus Christ. What am I going to say again? No man. What did I say?
No man.
No one has the strength in himself or herself to be able to resist. So Jesus said, do it like this. Do it in what? In prayer. And it's a simple prayer. Lead us not into temptation. And I said something last time. Let me just say that briefly and I close. All right? I will continue this one from next time. All right? I won't end it. Last week I spoke about the issue of what? Acknowledging. It is crucial that your mouth acknowledges God. And that's why the one good place to practice it is this one you've been taught to a child. Pray before you eat. You take food, if a multi-millionaire, if you are very rich, all right? This is how you know how rich you are in life. Check the proportion of your money that goes towards food. The richer you are, the smaller it becomes. Are you getting my point? If a man just manages to have enough money to buy food, he's very poor. That is, he's using 80% of his income on food. That's poverty in the natural sense. Spiritually, he may be rich, all right? Blessed are the poor in spirit, amen? All right. Okay. Well, by the time your name is Aliko Dangote, are you getting what I'm saying? Femi Otedola. All those are Nigerian big men, we riches. Even if you were eating the most expensive meal on the earth and using one very rare 30-year-old bottle of wine to finish each supper, the amount of money you spend on food is still very small compared to your total income. It gets down to 0.0000001% at a particular point in time. Now, I'm going somewhere. Listen to this. If, despite that knowledge of how little it is that your food is taking from your total financial worth, you still pick that plate and say, Lord, I thank you for this food. Listen, you have acknowledged him concerning everything you have. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Despite how little it is, that's why I say to you, don't eat food in a hurry. Forbid yourself from eating food in a hurry. They give you food, you are driving, toss me an apple, you catch and begin bite. No, make it a habit. Father, I thank you for this. That is, even if it's 2 seconds, Lord, I thank you. Because, listen, that will keep you, one day you'll be a billionaire. You know, I warned you long ago. If you think this, your poverty will last forever, better enjoy it while it's lasting. No, I've been telling you, trek now. Don't be in a hurry to take leave. Trek, because very soon you won't be able to trek again. Not for sickness, not for anything. Just nobody will allow you to trek. Have you ever seen Sullivan trekking? And for where? It's too risky. Nobody will let him trek. A time will come, nobody will let you trek. I'm telling you, I'm warning you now. So better trek all the trek you want to trek. Instead of whining and whining. Just say, let's walk. We can't, Pastor Parker has warned us. We never can tell when it will start. And once it starts like this, you'll be surprised. This man, what is his name? Ravi Zacharias. It's not about trekking. His life, he flies 2 tons. 2 tons of his life is on the plane. So people like that, they say that, what are you doing with business class? He needs to sleep. He has to fly first class. He can't be sitting in economy class. Minimum he has to fly is business class so he can stretch out and sleep. Because that's the only place he gets to sleep. He doesn't have time to trek. I'm just letting you know. So you have to practice some things now. Because very shortly it will happen that what you are eating will be an infinitesimally small proportion of your total income. Say that amen loud if you believe it.
Amen.
So make it a habit. They give you a tiny grape. Granola like this, pour me small. You know the way you buy granola, your friends say, yeah, pour me small. Pour a little bit for the fellow. All right? If you are the one, before you toss the first one into your mouth, look at it and say, Lord, you are good. And begin to eat. That's the power of acknowledging. Listen, it's going to preserve your life when you're a billionaire. It will keep you when you are flying. Are you getting my point? It will keep you from evil. I'm telling you the truth. It will heal your diseases. You will know that, listen, they will fire shots at you like this. It's later when they show you your jacket perforated in front and behind. That's when you know you were shot. But your skin, there will be no scratch. Say amen.
Amen.
But listen, it will be funny. But it will just be because you remember to say, God, thank you for groundnuts. Very important. I said that last time. The power of acknowledgement. You must constantly acknowledge God. Now, why I brought that one up again is that I want to add this one to it. We'll continue this one next. I'm sure I didn't do good justice to this. We're just using it a lot of times. What I just want to bring out is that the fact that, listen, this issue of praying so that you don't fall into evil, again, is, you know, I've been talking about praying always. It's not something, say, we'll go to prayer meeting today, let us now pray so we don't fall into evil. It's as you hear things. Are you getting what I'm saying? Paul said, if anybody is overtaking an offense, reconcile, those of you who are spiritual, reconcile such a one with the spirit of humility, fearing lest you yourself be tempted. Listen, I'll say this, make you laugh. I wrote a story inside one of my books, should I say yes? I remember that day very well. It's funny, but I don't know why it always brings up in my head. I was driving from the airport down. I just realized that the last few days, my wife has been a normal human being to me. This was years ago. I don't know whether I get what I'm saying. I just been a normal human being. How now? You know that kind of thing. Nobody say we'll quarrel. Nobody say we'll fight. I said, Lord, what's going on? I was driving. I was around that between the airport bridge. And before I got to where those mobile policemen used to be, that before you turn to New Haven, that's a hand. Somewhere between there, I remember. I don't know whether I bent my head, but inside my car, I said, no. Lord, you said, be exhilarated with her love at all times. No, the love for my wife was never cooled down. We didn't fight, though. Nobody said, we'll quarrel. But I remember, maybe the Holy Spirit all printed in my head, but I wrote it inside that book. I may not have told the story like this, but I said it there. That don't think that, I'm very excited over my wife. No, it's prayer. I pray it into existence. What do you mean? I pray. No, I'm not kidding about that. Pray it into existence. You discover. I was just driving that day. Something just struck me that, what's going on here? I said, where? I prayed the prayer. I like one thing the two men of God have heard now say, I didn't feel any fire. Didn't feel anything. Nothing. But I prayed the prayer. And then later my wife would say, Pastor Banky, leave me alone. I said, the Lord answered the prayer. Yes. It's working. listen. You see, how can a whole man of God, 5,000 member congregation, just divorce his wife like that? That man is crazy. Don't say like that, though. Because that spirit of his crazy is a spirit. They jump inside people. You don't know. Saul was a normal human being until one spirit left him and another one came back inside. You get what I'm saying? How do we ensure? You see, what I'm going to say in all of this in this series is this. This is what prayer is used for. It's not used to attack any. You don't have any serious enemy. I mean, more than Israel could have had Balak as an enemy. But was Balak a problem? It was not really a problem. So God did not invent prayer for Balak. He invented prayer for Israel against the Moabite women. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? I was talking about the issue of mouth. If people explain, they catch maybe some thieves. I don't know. It's the devil that pushed me. Say, what's wrong with themselves? Don't say it like that. Say, Lord, thank you. In the name of Jesus, the devil will never push me. Do you follow my point? That's why Christians can pray all the time. Especially, I like what the pastor said this when we were in Lagos. He said that if you find, he called the principle of networks. I never forgot it. He said, if you find a problem amongst your circle of friends or people that you know, not that you know, that people that are close to you, all right, maybe you're in a church, you love the men of God and all of that, you find out all of them, but that you're married for 15 years, their wives always come to church with different contours on the head. You are not better. Amen? No, really, 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 really. Once you start observing it, your senior pastor, that's his habit. His assistant, that's his habit. The deputy is his habit. Who else? The head usher, that's his habit. the chief, the head deacon, that's his habit. The head of musical set. And you're in that church, and you want to wait. And these are the people that even come in to tell you, do you agree to take? Oh boy, pray. Don't say, no, the way I love this woman, like God, if our Father God knows that I will never lift my hand, and nonsense talk. What did I call it? Nonsense talk. Once you don't say it like that, what you simply do is that, Father, whatever it is that's making these men do like this, I pray for them that you have mercy, they will not do it. And in my house, listen, it's that simple. Oh, I pray you understand it. It is that simple. Lord, I ask of you in the name of Jesus, let that never happen to me. It's that simple. What did I say? It is that simple. I was telling my wife something the other day. I said, I like this. I always say things out. I don't know whether I get my point. I say it out. I don't just think it in my heart. I say it out. I may be in the front of the world and I'm looking. I just stop. These people did like this. Lord, have mercy on them. Hey. I wouldn't want that kind of thing to happen. I say it out there. Utter out loud. That's called praying all the time. Like I've been saying again and again, what's my emphasis? I want you to know that prayer is, you are fighting not your enemies. You don't have that kind of enemy that demands, that requires you to be staying up all night praying against enemies. I said the other day, that what I call the answers to the Psalms. Jesus has already prayed the prayer, contend with those who contend with me. So what's happening is that God is already, you know, God is hanging over you like they say, who doesn't like him? Come for fight. It's between them and God. It doesn't require any extra prayer from your mouth. You don't need to break your head over it. All your prayer, your effort in life must be to keep yourself pure, walking in the ways of God. Are you getting my point? I hope you've gotten my point today. I'll stop it right here, then we'll pick up from that particular point next time. Let's just bow down our heads and just give you Lord thanks. Just say, Father, we thank you. Say, Father, we thank you. Just give him thanks, give him thanks, give him thanks. Give him thanks because he's good. Give him thanks because he's good. There's a prayer I like to quote all the time from Psalm. It said, the righteousness of thy testimony is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. I want to just pray that prayer. Say, Lord, the righteousness of thy testimony is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. Rise to your feet. Let me just pray for you. Let me take forward the part. Once, put up your right hand, please. Once again, I declare to you that goodness is your portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Listen to this. As you go and as you come, the Lord is with you by your side in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He keeps you and no evil will befall you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
He will deliver you and you will not be the doer of evil in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Anything you put that hand to will prosper this week in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, let me just drop this one for you. If any part of your body is hurting you, put that hand on it and say to it, peace be upon you. And I declare to you once again that the peace of God will dwell therein in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And healing will be your portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Share our brethren, the word works.